Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Nothing is Hidden from Jesus, as we pick up in Mark chapter 9, verse 26. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
The Spirit cried and tore him sore and came out of him, and he was lying there like he was dead, insomuch that many of the people around were saying, oh, he died, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? Good question. They were powerless in this case. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, it would appear that there are rankings of demon spirits. And the Bible does definitely speak of the rankings, principalities, powers, which are all rankings. And there are some that are more powerful than others and are more resistant to exorcism than are others. And this was one of those more powerful demons. The disciples at this point weren't able to handle it. Jesus did. And his answer to them is that this kind can only come out by fasting and prayer. We'll be talking about the various kinds of evil spirits when we do talk about that. And they departed from there and they passed through Galilee. And he tried to do it secretly. He didn't want anyone to know it. For he was teaching his disciples, and he said unto them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Notice he's emphasizing this. He's trying to prepare them now. They know now he is the Messiah, but he's trying to prepare them for a different Messiah than what the people and they were actually looking for. But they did not understand his saying, and they were afraid to ask him. They did not understand how he's talking about his death and resurrection, and they were just afraid to question him about it. And so when they came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what were you fellows arguing about back there in the path? But they were ashamed to tell him. They were silent. Because back there on the path, they were arguing among themselves as to who was going to be the greatest. And they were embarrassed to say, well, we were, you know, Peter said he was going to be the greatest, and I know I am, you know, and we were arguing about that. They were embarrassed to confess to the Lord the petty argument that they were in about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Saying things that when Jesus said, what were you saying, they were ashamed to tell him. They were embarrassed to tell him. We have all been in that position. We've said things that we would be embarrassed to tell Jesus what we said. If he should say, well, what did you say? Well, nothing, Lord. I didn't say anything, you know. We've all done things that we would be embarrassed for Jesus to know that we did them, as if he didn't. That's what we need to know. Jesus knows everything we say. He knows everything we do. The Bible says everything is naked and open before him with whom we have to do. You don't hide anything from him. We need to be more aware of that. We need to be conscious of the presence of Jesus at all times so that we know that we're not hiding anything from him. And because he knew what they were arguing about, he said, come, fellas, I want to talk to you. And he sat down, which is the position that the rabbi took whenever he was going to teach important lessons. And instead of rebuking them for arguing about who was going to be the greatest, instead of condemning them for this, he told them how they could be the greatest. You know, Jesus so often has a different attitude towards me than what I anticipate. I've messed up. I've failed. I think, oh man, he's going to wail on me now, you know. Because the Lord says, come here, Chuck, I want to talk to you. Oh. You know, and you're expecting him to really lay it on you. And instead, he's so compassionate. He said, now look, this is the way you can be successful. Now, you failed that time because, and instead of condemning me, for my failure. He only sits down and points out how I can avoid that failure the next time, how I can be successful the next time. I love the Lord because he is never condemning. He's always so compassionate. He's always so helpful. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And he who believes is not condemned. I believe in Jesus. Because I believe in Jesus, I'm not perfect. I do stumble, I do fall, but I'm not condemned. When I stumble and fall, he doesn't come and condemn me. He only shows me how to walk. So they're arguing a petty argument over who's going to be the greatest. He doesn't condemn them for that and say, what a stupid thing to be arguing about, you know. He says, look, you want to be the greatest? This is how. If any man wants to be first, and let him be last, and let him become the servant. He said on another occasion, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, then learn to be the servant of all. He had said before, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, then you'll find it, you'll save it. So you want to be great? Here's the path to greatness. Not as you think. It's not through ambition and drive and pushing yourself ahead of the others and pulling others down that you might ascend above them. But the path of greatness is by taking the place of a servant and beginning to serve one another. Jesus said, whosoever would be the chief among you, let him be the servant of all. Now, the real position of the pastor of the church is that of the servant to the church, the servant of all. I oftentimes tell the people back in the prayer room who have come to accept Jesus Christ, one of the fringe benefits now of your becoming a child of God is you've just picked up a bunch of servants. For we who are on the staff here at Calvary, the word minister actually means servant, and we are here to serve your needs. And we're available to serve you. That's what it's all about. And Jesus is saying, look, if you want to be great, then be a servant. And then he took a child, and he set the child in the middle of them. And when he had taken the child in his arms, I love this picture of Jesus. Takes a little child and he just takes him in his arms and he holds the child. He's sitting there, probably sits him on his lap, holding him there in his arms. And he said to them, whosoever will receive one of such children in my name actually is receiving me. And whosoever shall receive me doesn't receive me, but him that sent me. Now Jesus is saying actually, what you do for a child is being done for me. Now, in that culture, the children were considered almost non-persons until they came of age. No one would take time for a child. They were just allowed to grow up until they came of age, and then they lay on them the responsibilities of adulthood. But Jesus is saying, take time for the children. Whatever you're doing for a child, you're actually doing for me. If you receive a child in my name, you're receiving me. And if you receive me, you're receiving the Father, the one that sent me. Now, the disciples are always throwing in things that don't really relate to the situation that he's talking about because they didn't always understand what he was talking about. And so John answered and said, Master, we saw one who was casting out devils in your name and he didn't follow us. And so we forbid him because he didn't follow us. Jesus said, don't forbid him. There's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can actually speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now John has interjected this sectarianism. Lord, he, you know, was casting out devils, but he didn't call himself a Baptist, so we told him to stop it. She said, hey, learn that you're working together. If he's doing it in my name, he can't be speaking evil of me. Let him alone. God help the church, that someday we might wise up to the fact that we're all serving the same Lord. May God help us to identify the enemy. It's not the church down the street. We should be working with them for the cause of Jesus Christ. But the church is so busy competing and fighting with each other that we're really not doing much to damage the enemy's territory. God help us. May the church of Jesus Christ really get together and learn to love one another and learn to get along with one another. We were down in Mexicali this week visiting with the fellowship that is there in Mexicali. God is blessing the fellowship there in a tremendous way. Over 900 people were out at the banquet where I spoke on Friday night. We loaned the people down there several $1,000s to buy a building that they might worship in because their fellowship was growing so rapidly. They had to have a place to meet. And so there was this place for sale that was an ideal location for them. And so we loaned them, Calvary Chapel, that's you, Calvary Chapel, we loaned them the money so they could purchase this church. Well, they made arrangements to pay off the loan, and the people had pledged the money over a period of time to pay off the loan to us. But in the meantime, this peso devaluation thing has hit. And when we made the arrangements, there were 25 pesos to a dollar. Now there are 70 pesos to the dollar, and though they've paid us back $150,000, they owe us now more in pesos than what they owed when they began. And it's a very sad thing for the church. And also, you know, the government has put a freeze and you can't get dollars down there and all. And so they were all worried because they didn't know how they were going to make their payments to us. And so they had a meeting and I was sitting with them in the meeting and they said, now, we don't know, you know, what can we do to make the payments? And we said, forget it. We're all one body. We're not worried about the payments. We're all one body in Jesus. And so as long as this situation exists and there's a problem, just forget it. We're not concerned. We're not worried because you're doing the work of the Lord here and we're all one body in Jesus. We loaned the U.S. World Mission Center in Pasadena. We loaned them $300,000 to buy their facility up there. And that was supposed to have been paid off 2 years ago in October, and they were unable to pay it off. And so they sent their committee down here to tell how sorry they were and what they were going to try to do. And all I said, hey, we're all one body. It's the Lord's money. You're doing the Lord's work. Don't worry about it. Forget it. We're not worried about it. It's God's money. We're all one body. We're all the church. God help us that we can see that truth, that we are all serving the same Lord. One body in Christ. Now, Jesus has this little child in his arms, and he's talking about receiving a child and ministering to a child, and you're ministering to me. And John throws in this sectarian bit, and Jesus throws it back out. But then he comes back to the child, and he said, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, these little children, whoever would offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it was better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea. I love the spunk of Jesus. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look upon this little child. And he's saying, take a millstone, tie it around his neck, and toss him out in the sea. Hey, that millstone, you ought to see the millstone there in Capernaum. It's about as big as this pulpit with a round hole in the middle, and it is round stone, sort of a lava stone. I mean, if that thing were hung around your neck and you're tossed in the Sea of Galilee, you're going to go down fast. How evil it is to plant doubt in the heart of a child. How evil it is to destroy the faith, that beautiful faith that children have. You know, whenever I'm sick, who I call to pray for me? Children. I love the children to pray for me. I don't want any doubts. Call my grandkids. Pray for grandpa. The beauty of that faith, the simplicity of that faith that they have in God. What kind of a twisted mind would try to destroy the beautiful faith of a child? Whatever type of twisted mind it is, Jesus said it would be better for that person to take a millstone and hang it on his neck and toss him on into the sea than to destroy the faith of one of these little children who trust in me. If your hand offend you, cut it off. Better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and neither is the fire quenched. Now, this is Jesus talking, friend. There are a lot of modernists today who say, well, hell isn't hell. There is no hell. There were a modernist minister, a Unitarian minister, and a Christian Science practitioner going down the road together. They ran into a concrete abutment, and all three of them immediately were in eternity. The modern minister says, I can't be here. This place doesn't exist. The Unitarian said, it's only a state of mind. And the Christian Scientist said, I'm not here and it's not hot. But this is Jesus talking. And I am afraid to add to or to take away from his words. I think he knows more about it than does Herbert W. Armstrong or the Jehovah's Witnesses. And rather than listening to what they may say, it is better to just listen to what Jesus says. According to him, it is a real place, a place to be avoided at all cost. Better to live a life in a maimed condition than to go into hell whole, where the fire will never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If your foot offends you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life lame than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. The word translated hell here is not the usual Greek word translated hell. The usual Greek word is Hades, which does speak of a temporary abode for the unrighteous dead in the heart of the earth. But this particular Greek word is Gehenna. This is not a temporary abode. This is the place of the final consignment to Satan and his angels. And it was prepared for Satan and his angels. And those who choose to cast their lot with Satan and his angels, God will grant them that choice. And this is where they will spend, or this is where they are consigned for eternity. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes be cast into Gehenna's fire, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire. Or the salt was used as a purifying instrument, so purified by fire. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Heavy words. Jesus said them. I dare not tamper with them. I will not tamper with them. I will not try to modify them. I refuse to tamper with them. It is better to believe and find yourself wrong than not to believe and find yourself wrong.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 9 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied, and may He bring to your remembrance those things which He has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and His will and His plan for your life. May the Lord be with you, to bless you, to guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in Him. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Every year, Pastor Chuck used to give a prophecy update to prepare Christians to be ready to give an answer to anyone who wants to know what the Bible says about the future. And right now, The Word for Today would like to offer you resources that will help you comprehend and unravel the scriptures that pertain to prophecy, such as Pastor Chuck's commentary on the Book of Revelation, or a collection of DVDs that relate to Israel, the Rapture, and the Holy Spirit in the last days. I encourage you as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to become informed about what the Bible says about the soon return of Jesus Christ, and to be able to share your faith with others. For more information about resources concerning biblical prophecy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.